over the last several weeks. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This passage of scripture has sort of perplexed me for a long time. What does it look like to be dead to self and alive in Christ? What does it look like to no longer live for yourself, but to have Christ living through you? You know, in a sense, I've kind of looked at it as a sort of high and lofty idea that is difficult to grasp, you know? What is it? Okay, Paul, that sounds great for you, but for me, like, to live is Christ, and the life I live is now live with, as if Christ is living through me. And so maybe it's just because I've allowed it to be this high and lofty idea, this unattainable thing in my own strength, and maybe I'm just comfortable with making excuses for myself, you know, for not being able to obtain or attain that level of commitment. You know, the question is, how does someone continue to live in this world, but live in such a way as to exemplify Jesus Christ? When someone looks at you, they think that they've encountered Jesus. Right? When they talked about the apostles, they were unlearned fishermen. But one thing they couldn't deny, and they all admitted, people that encountered them, is they knew they had been with Jesus. When they encountered the apostles, the fishermen, the people that were the looked down upon people, you know, the foolish things of the world that the Bible talks about, you know, God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. When I looked at them, they're like, there's something different about those people. They have spent time with Jesus. Our world system and our customs are in stark contrast to how Jesus lived his life. Right? All we got to do is read the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus instructs us how to treat people, especially our enemies. Our world system is complete contrast to that. Our world system is ruin their life, destroy your enemies, you know, cancel them, to use more current terminology, right? Cancel them. Show up at their house and picket them for daring to say anything that we don't agree with, you know, just ruin their life. Jesus' way of living is a complete contrast to that. He says, love your enemies, do good to those who spitefully use you, bless those who curse you. If you see your enemy hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. That's not how we choose, that's not how our current societal system operates for the most part. There are thoughts and customs of our society that try to influence us on what it looks like to be successful in life as well, right? What, you know, this is what your life should look like if we're going to count you as being successful. You've lived a successful life if you've held down a job or a career, steady career for 25, 30, 40 years. You've put away money for retirement. You've got a nest egg. You've got this amount of money. Your net worth is this. All this stuff. Okay. You're successful. Right? But what did Jesus tell the disciples? Don't even take an extra coat with you. Just go preach the kingdom of heaven. And God will provide for you. He'll take care of you. Last time I was here, I talked about that was, you know, trusting God to provide. Yes, we're not going to be like heathens and not work to provide for our children and our families. We're going to do that, but that is not who we are. It doesn't make up who we are 100%. Like, think about this. When we introduce ourselves to people, to new people, what is the most common, I would say, one of the most common questions that we ask each other? Hey, what do you do? Implying, what do you do for a living? What's your career? And we usually use that as a marker to identify ourselves of who we really are. Oh yeah, I'm a plumber. I'm a farmer. I'm a nurse. Or I go to school. And we identify ourselves by our career, our chosen career path, or by what we're doing with our life at the time. Yeah, and then that's just typically how we communicate with each other, because people can talk about those things. They're okay talking about plumbing and heating. They're okay talking about, you know, the nursing field or criminal justice or whatever it might be, right? But I was reading and I was looking at Paul's introductions of himself when he wrote in his letters. And keep in mind, we're talking about Paul and what he said about himself in Galatians chapter 2, that he's been crucified with Christ. It's no longer him who lives, but it's Christ who lives in him. It's not, then life he now lives, he doesn't live by faith or in the flesh, but by faith in the Son of God who gave himself up for him. So in Romans, Paul started out saying, this is how he introduced himself. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, he introduces himself by saying, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. In Galatians, he says, Paul, an apostle sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. In Ephesians, he introduces himself by saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. In 1 Timothy, he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God our Savior and of Jesus Christ our hope. 2 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus by the will of God in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. In Titus, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. We know that Paul was a tent maker. We know that Paul did tent making to provide for himself at times. He told us that, right? When there were those who didn't quite provide what they promised or pledged to give to help him in his time of need, and he would say things like, well, it's not that I have a need, because I can do these things, I can provide for myself. But he never introduces himself as a tent maker. And I found that very interesting. In every letter that I have seen that he's written, he introduces himself as an apostle, a servant of God, someone who's been called by Jesus Christ to go and preach the gospel, to preach the good news to people. He never introduces himself and says, hey, yeah, you know what, I'm a tent maker. To him, the most important thing that people needed to know about him was that he was a servant of Jesus Christ. That was his identity. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. That's who I am. Oh, I happen to make tents. If you need a tent, look me up. I'll help you out. But you know what? First and foremost, you need to know about me. I follow Jesus, and that's what I'm going to talk about. That's what my life is about, Jesus Christ. You know, like I said before, the call to follow Jesus Christ in every aspect of our life sometimes seems too high and lofty, unattainable, difficult to grasp. So much so that we rarely even talk about that when we meet new people, right? If it happens to come up, I might talk about Jesus. If it happens to come up, right? But I don't want to force my beliefs on anybody. I don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable, right? But nobody feels uncomfortable when we start talking about the twins. Why is it when someone brings up the twins, people don't say, hey man, why don't you keep your opinions to yourself? Don't shove your beliefs down my throat. Why is it okay to talk about the twins or the Vikings or the North Stars, that was a long time ago, the Wild or whatever the current hockey team is? Why is it not offensive to talk about that? We can talk all day long about the weather. We can talk all day long about our chosen career path. But when it comes to Jesus, we just leave that as a possibility to bring it up. If they bring it up, maybe I'll talk about it. But really just kind of gloss over a little bit, you know. But Paul is like, out of the gate, one thing you need to know about me, I love Jesus, and I'm an apostle, and I'm going to serve the Lord. That's what you need to know right out of the gate. Anything else? Maybe we'll get to that. It's not a high and lofty and unattainable thing, a difficult thing to grasp. In actuality, it's very simple. It's just that we have to have a mindset change about how we view the gospel and how we view Jesus and who we are in Christ. Because if we truly believe what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, then the things that Christ wants to accomplish, he needs to be the most important thing. The most important thing. Everything else is secondary. In James chapter 1, verse 27, it says this, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You want pure and undefiled religion? Visit those people who are in need. Give to those who are in need. Help those who are in need. And don't wallow in the mud in the disgusting pit that is the world system of belief and customs. Reject those things that the world tells you to place on yourself as a measure of being successful. Isaiah 58, 6 through 7 says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh, meaning your own family. And even Jesus quoted that, right? He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because I have been anointed to do these things. This is what I came to do. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free. To share the gospel and to love people so that they can be set free from the bondages that have kept them in prison for however long they've been in bondage to it. To share the hope and the love that Christ has showed us and the grace and mercy that's available to us. Which is, again, in complete contrast to the world system. The world system judges you by the way you look, how you dress, your job. All of these things, just any sort of label that they can put upon you, that's what they judge you as. Jesus spent time with the lowly, with those who were looked down upon. I was just speaking with the kids at Lakeview Christian Academy the other day, and I was sharing with them about, out of the book of Romans, we're told not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to associate with the lowly, right? I would listen to these kids talk about people they'd see on the street who were homeless, and they would just mock them. And it grieved my heart. Who are we? Because your parents can afford you send you to private school, you can look down on people because their life is more difficult than yours. We don't know what caused them to be in that position. Any number of things could happen to us and we'd find ourselves in the same place. Don't look down upon people because they look different than you. They smell different. They dress differently. God loves them just as much as he loved us. Gave his life for them too. Their life is a little bit more difficult. They deserve the same grace and mercy that we got. To recognize people as human beings. To acknowledge people when you see them. Even if they have nothing to offer you. Especially if they have nothing to offer you. In Micah 6:8, he says, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. See what I mean? It's simple. We make it difficult. By trying to make Jesus Christ balance with the world, and that will never happen. We try to balance Jesus with the world system, and it will never happen. He's very clear in what his expectations of us are. Right? If you read the book of Luke, he says even if you don't hate your own father, mother, brothers, and sisters in your own life more than me, you cannot be my disciple. Now, that doesn't mean we go around despising our family members and treat them like garbage.